Welcome to today's reading of the San Angelo Standard Times, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Michael reading the San Angelo Standard Times for the week of Sunday, April 25th, 2021. I'm narrating these articles on Thursday, April 29th, and I'll begin with the most recent articles first. COVID-19 update, a look at San Angelo coronavirus data for April. Tom Green County, as of April 29th, from the city of San Angelo. 16,754 positive tests reported. 7 new positive tests. Deaths, 307. 198 from Tom Green County and 109 from other counties. 4 currently hospitalized. 46 active cases. Tom Green County COVID-19 Vaccine Tracker, 26% of people fully vaccinated, by Chastity Lasky. Tom Green County has administered more than 66,904 doses of the COVID-19 vaccine as of April 27th, according to data from the Texas Department of State Health Services. That's up 4% from the previous week's tally of 64,474 COVID-19 doses administered. In Tom Green County, 26% of people living in Tom Green County are fully vaccinated as of April 27th. The CDC considers someone fully vaccinated 2 weeks after they've been given a single dose shot, Johnson & Johnson, or a second shot, either Pfizer or Moderna. San Angelo man charged with 3 counts of sexual assault of a child, by Elena Edgen, published April 29th. A San Angelo man has been arrested after police learned of a sexual relationship with a child, according to an arrest affidavit released Wednesday. According to a Child Protective Services intake report, a 15-year-old reported having a relationship with a 20-year-old. The child said they were sexually assaulted 3 times between March 15th and March 22nd, 2021, according to the affidavit. Michael Anthony Andros Jr., 20, was arrested Wednesday on suspicion of 3 counts of sexual assault of a child, possession of marijuana, 4 misdemeanors, and 13 warrants. He remained in Tom Green County Detention Center in lieu of a $155,446 20-cent bond as of 1 p.m. Thursday, according to online jail records. Andros was charged in a 2019 shooting and is on bond after being indicted for evading arrest in 2020. According to online court records. San Angelo man arrested for shooting at woman, by Elena Edgen, published April 29th. A San Angelo man has been arrested months after a woman was shot at in Tom Green County, according to an arrest affidavit released Thursday. On February 17th, 2021, a woman stepped out of her camper and noticed a vehicle parked nearby. A person she recognized in the vehicle had a gun pointed at her, records state. She saw a muzzle flash and took cover, afraid she would be shot and killed, the woman told officers. An investigation revealed tire tracks and bullet casings nearby in the snow, records state. Joshua Aguirre, 28, was arrested Wednesday on suspicion of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, possession of a controlled substance, and 3 warrants. He remained in Tom Green County Detention Center in lieu of an $82,500 bond as of noon Thursday, according to online jail records. Shannon Medical Center opens new physical therapy facility in San Angelo, by Colin Murphy, published April 29th. Patients needing specialized physical therapy after suffering debilitating injuries or conditions will soon have a brand new facility in San Angelo with enhanced capabilities in which to receive treatment. The new Shannon Neuro Rehabilitation Clinic at 3501 Executive Drive includes an expanded floor plan with more space for patients and therapists, as well as expanded services, including state-of-the-art physical therapy equipment. Diana Moreland, manager of the Shannon Neuro Rehabilitation Clinic, said the new space will allow therapists to provide an enhanced level of care for patients in a more comfortable setting. This allows us the opportunity to grow and serve more patients, in addition to providing more specialty services, Moreland said. It will allow us to better serve our community. We genuinely and sincerely care about our patients, and we want them to improve and become more independent and self-sufficient and self-confident. The other staff members are equally passionate about what we do, and that translates into our patient care. One of the patients looking forward to the new facility is Garrett Parrish, who suffered a spinal injury requiring physical therapy twice a week. Parrish, who has been receiving neurorehabilitation treatment for nearly 18 months, said he was excited about the possibilities afforded by a new clinic. There's more space for the OTs, occupational therapists, and PTs, physical therapists, to work comfortably, Parrish said. The last gym was a lot smaller and we had to move things around, so I'm really excited for them to have the space to work in. Brady man charged after trio assaults San Angelo man with taser, by Elena Edgen, published April 28. A Brady man has been arrested after a dispute over who owned a pickup truck turned violent, according to an arrest affidavit obtained Wednesday. On April 17, 2021, a man fell asleep in a red 1999 Dodge pickup truck in front of his residence in the 800 block of Poplar Lane. Three men approached the pickup as he slept, then commanded the man at gunpoint to get out or they would beat his expletive, according to the affidavit. One of the trio, who the man recognized, opened the pickup door and punched him in the face, then tased his neck. Another member of the trio took the taser and attempted to tase him on the abdomen and left arm, records state. The man attempted to defend himself, and one of the trio threatened to shoot him if he didn't get out of the pickup. He got out and ran to the front of his house, according to the affidavit. The trio split, with two of the men leaving in a white passenger car. The Brady man took off with the red pickup, records state. The man told officers he recognized the Brady man due to a previous civil dispute over the ownership of the pickup, according to the affidavit. Doorman Zachary Hanna, 38, alias Zero, was arrested Tuesday on suspicion of aggravated robbery. He remained in Tom Green County Detention Center in lieu of a $75,000 bond as of 8:15 a.m. Monday, according to online jail records. Early voting in San Angelo ends with low turnout, less than 7% before May 1st election, by John Tufts, published April 28th. You could hear the sound of an I voted pin drop in the hallways of the Ed B. and Francis Frink Keys building on Tuesday evening, had there been anyone around to drop one, as early voting in San Angelo came to a close. The corridors were empty of all but election staff at about 7 p.m. Tuesday, April 27th, a stark contrast to the long lines of registered voters who cast ballots during early voting for the November 2020 U.S. presidential election. I wish we certainly had more voters coming out, election administrator Vona Hudson said. The positions for mayor and single-member districts 2, 4, and 6 are up for election this year. Also on the ballot in San Angelo are three district races for the school board. Voters will decide who will represent them on May 1, 2021. About 54,829 people were registered to vote in the city of San Angelo in mid-April, according to election officials. Hudson said 3,661 people cast ballots during early voting, with 2,519 people voting in person, and 1,142 entering a ballot by mail, about 6.7% of San Angelo's registered voters. Participation in local elections has been traditionally low in previous years, averaging around 13.6 total turnout in the last three races for mayor. Hudson urged voters in San Angelo to remember that some polling locations have changed this year and to be mindful of what locations will be open. We're only going to have 18 locations, and people won't come to the elections office to vote on election day, Hudson said. Those with a ballot by mail can surrender their ballot to the election office on May 1st. Unlike the November 2020 election, Hudson said voters won't be required to wear masks or gloves in order to cast a ballot Saturday. She is, however, encouraging they be worn, regardless, to help prevent the spread of COVID-19. We're not requiring them, but we are recommending masks and gloves, but they're not required, Hudson said. Cristoval Business expands to San Angelo, selling whole and paleo foods, by Rosanna Frere, published April 29th. A Cristoval Business has expanded to San Angelo, selling meal preps and casseroles, all of which are whole food-based with specialties in paleo, gluten-free, and Whole 30. Rootbound Food Company opened in San Angelo on April 20th at 2611 South Johnson Avenue by owner Katie Capron and is open 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. Since 2016, the business has been open in Cristoval. The Cristoval location remains open, and all food is made there and transferred to San Angelo. Along with having her freezers stocked for walk-in customers, Capron also makes custom meal preps. The menu is released every Wednesday on the business's Facebook page, and people have until Sunday to order. We then make it fresh on Monday, and people can pick it up, and they can order just one of 10 if they wanted to, she said. The business also has a retail section with soaps, snacks, chapsticks, and more. This is all stuff I use and love and leans towards the natural lifestyle like I do, Capron said. I use these candles made with clean waxes. My favorite trail mix is up there, and I use those superfood mixes in my smoothies. Capron took time to answer questions about her business. What's the best thing in your store? Our casseroles. They are super easy, quick, and clean. Who was your biggest supporter when you started? For sure, friends and family. Since I started a new business, they supported me and told everyone they knew, and it all grew from there. Best business advice you've received? To not grow too fast. I had several people tell me in the beginning to take my time. That was hands down the best because I was able to keep my feet under me and not make mistakes that I would have made if I rushed. Is this your original location? No, and everything is still prepped in Cristoval since we don't have a kitchen here. I picked San Angelo as a business location because I had a good San Angelo following, and they have always been so good to me. I've developed many friendships. For a long time, they drove out to Cristoval every week to get stuff. So this is my way of saying thanks, and I appreciate you all growing me. Angelo State University announces 2021 football schedule, by Paul Harris, published April 28th. Angelo State University announced the Rams' 2021 football schedule Wednesday, featuring five home games. The Rams begin the 2021 campaign on the road as they travel to St. Charles, Missouri, for a matchup against Lindenwood on Thursday, September 2nd. ASU makes its home debut on Saturday, September 18th against Midwestern State, which will open Lone Star Conference play. Other home games for ASU include Western New Mexico on October 2nd, UT Permian Basin on October 16th, Simon Fraser on October 23rd, homecoming, and Texas A&M Commerce on November 6th. Simon Fraser is a NCAA Division II school from Burnaby, British Columbia in Canada. ASU's road schedule includes a trip to Ellensburg, Washington, for a game against Central Washington on September 25th. The Rams also have road games with West Texas A&M on October 9th, Eastern New Mexico on October 30th, and Texas A&M Kingsville on November 13th. ASU went 2-2 in a shortened season last fall, highlighted by a 34-21 upset win on the road over NCAA Division I Abilene Christian to end the year. What's your opinion on renaming Lee Middle School? Here's what San Angelo ISD candidates said, by John Tufts, published April 27th. In less than a week, registered San Angelo voters in three districts will decide who will represent them as a trustee on the school board. Their vote could hinge on any number of factors, including how they felt about last year's decision to retire the name of Robert E. Lee Middle School, now Lone Star Middle School. School board trustees voted to change the name of San Angelo's Robert E. Lee Middle School in October 2020 after months of deliberation. The decision was met with both praise and scorn from members of the community. Some San Angelo residents welcomed the board's decision, calling the Confederate general a traitor whose name had no place on a building where minority students attended. Others loudly denounced the move, saying Lee was a complicated hero and the removal of his name tantamount to erasing history. The Standard Times sent a questionnaire to all candidates running for trustee positions on the SAISD school board. Three district races will be decided during the election May 1st. Candidates were asked to keep their responses brief and limited to 3 to 4 sentences. Some of their answers have been edited for clarity and length. Below is their response to retiring the name of Robert E. Lee Middle School. Responses not appearing below include those from Colin Neil Glaspie, Lupita Arroyo, and Chris Guro. Glaspie suspended his campaign for single-member District 3 due to personal reasons in late March. School board trustees voted March 29th to cancel the election for single-member District 2 after Arroyo ran unopposed and was therefore declared elected to office. Guro informed the Standard Times on March 31st he would not participate in the annual election guide for San Angelo voters. The school board voted to retire the name Lee Middle School and rename it Lone Star Middle School. What's your opinion of that decision? District 1 candidate, Bill Dindal. SAISD went through an exhaustive process to hear all voices concerned with the decision to change or not to change the name of Lee Middle School. I took part in that process. I personally did significant research concerning Lee, the man, as well as the original naming process of the school. I also fielded countless emails and comments both for and against the name change. I ultimately supported renaming the school. District 3 candidates, Debbie Cross. It's no secret that I actively disagreed with the decision to change the name of Robert E. Lee Middle School. The name has been there for over 70 years, and there has never been a problem presented until this last year. I am very disappointed in the school board's decision and always will be. Taylor Kingman. The decision of whether or not to change the name of Lee Middle School was brought up in a politically charged environment and was grouped with many other topics which were being addressed nationally. As a board, we attempted to put politics aside and give the entirety of our community the opportunity to voice their opinion. In the end, I felt the historical context as well as the impact on future students warranted a name change. As a school board member, I feel the charge is to put politics aside and do what is best for children. District 4 candidates, Amy Mizell Flint. In the beginning of the process, my initial thought was, we're not going to change the name of Lee. But after listening to many dozens of people speak over an almost 5-month period, I gradually changed my mind. Hearing people of all ages talk about their experiences, I started realizing that changing the name was the right thing to do. I am proud of our decision as a board to change the name, and I love the new mascot, Texans, the students of the Lone Star Middle School chose. Lynette Lucas, I think there were much better ways to spend our budget and time. Important election dates. May 1st, 2021, Election Day. San Angelo police make arrest in 2008 cold case murder of Jordan Holden. By Elena Edgen, published April 27th. DNA evidence has led to the arrest of a Katy man in connection to a 2008 San Angelo cold case, according to a police news release. Just before 3 p.m., Tuesday, April 27th, 2021, police announced an arrest had been made in the shooting death of Jordan Holden, who was slain more than a decade ago in a friend's home. Police arrested Patrick Stewart Jr., 33, in Katy, and charged him in connection to the case. He was a person of interest during the investigation and identified through familial DNA evidence, according to the release. San Angelo Police Chief Frank Carter praised efforts by investigators leading to Stewart's arrest. The investigation has proven that you cannot escape justice or outrun the horrific things that you have done to a human being in our community, Carter said. This investigative effort and arrest sends a strong message that we will not forget the victims or families of our remaining cold cases, and that we will continue to work tirelessly to solve each and every cold case. Armed intruders and a call for help led to the death of Jordan Holden. Nearly 13 years ago, in July 2008, a group of four friends arrived at a residence in West Harris Avenue, where they were ambushed by armed intruders, records state. A struggle ensued, and the friend who lived there called out for help. Jordan Holden, 22, answered his friend's call and met gunfire as he rushed into the home. Another friend was shot in the leg, according to previous reports. Police arrived to find Holden unresponsive. Though his friend survived, Holden was pronounced dead at the hospital. He left behind his girlfriend, who was 4 months pregnant at the time. Jordan Holden had a child on the way when he was murdered, Carter said. We cannot give that child his father back, but we hope this arrest brings peace and closure to the family. Stabbing in San Angelo sends man to emergency surgery, another to jail, by Elena Edgen, published April 26th. A man has been arrested days after a stabbing in South San Angelo ended with another man in the hospital, according to an arrest affidavit released Monday. On April 20th, 2021, police arrived at Shannon Hospital South in reference to a stabbing. A man sustained a major stab injury to his abdomen and needed emergency surgery, records state. The man told officers he went to the area of 5238 Old Christoval Road to pick up some items from his wife. During the exchange, a fight broke out and the man was stabbed by another man, according to an affidavit. Police were unable to find the wife or man in the area. On Sunday, April 25th, police arrested a man on an unrelated charge, which was not described in the documents. During an interview, the man told officers he stabbed the injured man once, records state. Anthony J. Cobb, 33, was arrested Sunday on suspicion of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, possession, delivery of drug paraphernalia, and four warrants. He remained in Tom Green County Detention Center in lieu of a $52,268 bond as of 4:30 p.m. Monday, according to online jail records. Police say San Angelo veteran loses $5,000 after asking family friend for help, by Elena Edgen, published April 26th. A 99-year-old veteran who was fighting COVID-19 in San Angelo at the time lost $5,000 after asking for a friend's help, according to an arrest affidavit obtained Monday. On March 10, 2021, a Tom Green County Sheriff's Office deputy met with a 99-year-old World War II veteran. The veteran said he asked an old family friend to buy him a motorhome while he was battling COVID-19 in December, according to the affidavit. While in a nursing home, the veteran contacted a family friend who he had known since the friend was a child. The veteran's stepson let the friend into the veteran's home to retrieve $1,000, and the veteran withdrew an additional $4,000 from his account. The veteran gave the friend the $5,000 for the purpose of buying him a motorhome and replacing the tires, records state. Several months passed with no word from the family friend. A friend of the veteran told deputies the family friend took advantage of the veteran while the veteran had COVID-19, because at the time the veteran's mind was not working like it should, according to the affidavit. Investigators made multiple attempts to contact the family friend with no results until March, records state. Documents did not state if the money was returned. Ray Elmer Fritz, 50, from Miles, was arrested Thursday on suspicion of theft of property between $2,500 and $30,000, enhanced to a third-degree felony due to prior convictions. He was released from Tom Green County Detention Center on a $10,000 bond later that day, according to online jail records. San Angelo man arrested after woman finds live stream video of child's bedroom, by Elena Edgen, published April 26th. A San Angelo man has been arrested after a child younger than 18 learned about a hidden camera in their bedroom, according to an arrest affidavit released Monday. On Friday, April 23rd, police interviewed the child, a woman, and a 35-year-old San Angelo man. The woman told investigators she found the man asleep in bed with his phone on April 21st. The phone showed a live stream video from inside the child's room, records state. The woman learned the man had hidden an old cell phone in the child's bedroom. She told him to remove the phone and erase the recorded video. She later told the child about the hidden phone, according to the affidavit. During a police interview, the man said he put a mobile phone in the child's room and downloaded an app that allowed him to stream and record video between the phones. He told investigators he was being stupid, according to the affidavit. William Wayne Diaz, 35, was arrested Friday on suspicion of attempted possession of child pornography. Diaz hid a cell phone with the specific intent to commit the offense of possession of child pornography, but failed to effect the commission of the offense intended, an affidavit stated. He remained in Tom Green County Detention Center in lieu of a $25,000 bond as of 3:30 p.m. Monday, according to online jail records. Residents upset after gravesite mementos thrown away during cemetery cleanup in San Angelo, by Rosanna Frere, published April 26th. Among flowers, families of loved ones found gravesite mementos thrown in a dumpster at a cemetery in San Angelo over the weekend. Framed pictures, communion rosaries, statues of angels, benches, and even an urn of ashes were thrown away after a cleanup at Calvary Catholic Cemetery, 1501 West Avenue Inn, on Saturday, April 24th. "Every year they do this cleanup, but it has never been this extensive," David Cedillo said. "They pulled statues out of the ground that had been there for 20 years. Cedillo, who has a loved one buried at the cemetery, said the cleanup crew stated the statues and benches were obstructing walkways. "That is very insulting to us because our family members are buried here and they are not walkways, they are plots, places for people to rest," he said. The actions shown by the diocese were very disrespectful. Christina Garcia, who shares the same loved one as Cedillo, said a crew cleans the cemetery twice a year, but only for trash. "This time they included everything as trash," she said. Cedillo said the Roman Catholic Diocese of San Angelo, which owns the cemetery, should have called the people who purchased the plots. "They should have some kind of contact information for each of them," he said. They said they would have to call over 1,000 people, but you have months to do that between each cleanup. Garcia said the anniversary of her husband's death was the Wednesday before the cleanup. "I came and put flowers, and they were gone a few days later," she said. Garcia's parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, and daughter are buried at the cemetery. "They say what belongs to us is under the ground, and what belongs to them is above the ground," she said. After the cleanup Saturday, Garcia, Cedillo, and other concerned residents attempted to organize what was pulled from the dumpsters to make it easier to find mementos. "They did not properly communicate that they were going to be enforcing this," Garcia said. "People are still barely finding out about it, so why are they saying they gave us enough notice?" Residents said the items not only had monetary value, but sentimental value. "It's so much heartbreak, and they have zero consideration for any of it," Garcia said. Robert Rodriguez, who said his mother, stepfather, and brother died in a three-day span from COVID-19, was concerned that the church had not spoken on the incident. "Has the bishop even heard about it? Does he have a stand on it?" Rodriguez questioned. Petition for personalized memorials. Garcia and Cedillo have begun a petition to start a pressure campaign. "We have seen cases in other towns where this has happened, and they had set up pressure campaigns against these authorities to get these policies reversed. So that's what we are aiming to do, to allow personalized memorials for our loved ones, Cedillo said. He said they are also in contact with a member of the city council and might plan a protest for the campaign. It's a shift in policy and enforcement, but it was never this enforced, Cedillo said. The enforcement was rash, and the way they carried it out was disrespectful. Why would they be able to choose how we grieve and honor our loved ones? The petition can be found on change.org. As of 3:30 p.m. Monday, April 26, there were 371 signatures. Comments from the church cleanup crew. Calvary Cemetery is operated as a private perpetual care cemetery. Its maintenance is provided by the Roman Catholic Diocese of San Angelo, separate and apart from the laws of the state of Texas, according to its official website. Mike Weiss, chancellor at the diocese, said they posted the cleanup on the church bulletin, on Facebook, on signs at the cemetery, and issued radio and newspaper ads. We told them anything they didn't want thrown away, they needed to remove it by Friday, and now all of a sudden they are interested in it, Wise said. Wise said the crew goes through something like this every time a cleanup happens, but this was the worst. They pulled bags out of the dumpster, ripped them open, and put it all on the street, Wise said. I'm surprised the city didn't give citations. Police said it's a city problem, but the cemetery doesn't belong to the city. So the police said it's our problem then. Weiss said loved ones are allowed to have flowers and vases attached to tombstones and a small American flag on national holidays. This is not a new policy. We have our regulations that are posted everywhere, Weiss said. A list of what items are acceptable to display can be found in its rules and regulations, which were last updated February 3, 2021. Perpetual care means to maintain grass and all the trees and plantings provided by Calvary Cemetery. This care is intended only for those plants placed by and for Calvary Cemetery, perpetual markers, monuments, or other decorations, according to the regulations. Calvary Cemetery management has the sole discretion in deciding what is acceptable and what has become unacceptable, its rules stated. Policies at other San Angelo cemeteries. A spokesperson with Fairmont Cemetery, Jeremy Walker, said they have two cemetery cleanups a year. The staff informs the public with notices in the Standard Times and on social media, he said. Joanna Jackson, office manager at Johnson's Lawn Haven Memorial Gardens, said they have a major cleanup once a year. We remove any Christmas decorations, anything that looks faded, or any dead flowers, Jackson said. The cleanup date is listed in the company's rules and regulations. A public notice at the office is also made prior to the cleanup. Throughout the year, staff make sure that no inappropriate items are left near gravesites. Jackson said staff will contact family should problems arise. Items not appropriate for the cemetery are stored for a period of days. These are people's loved ones, Jackson said. We try to be as understanding as possible and work with them the best we can. Police say San Angelo man shot 19-year-old in retaliation at Super 8 Motel. By Elena Edgen, published April 26th. A San Angelo man has been arrested 5 days after a 19-year-old was shot at a motel, according to an arrest affidavit obtained Monday. At about 12:30 p.m. April 18th, police arrived at the Super 8 Motel, 410 West Avenue L, where a 19-year-old man had been shot in the lower area of his left leg. The man's injuries were non-life-threatening, and he was treated at the hospital, records state. Video surveillance from the motel showed a man in dark clothing walk toward a room and fire a handgun into the window of the room the injured man was in. The man in dark clothing then fled the hotel in a 2006 silver BMW convertible with a black stripe, according to the arrest affidavit. On April 23rd, police arrested a 23-year-old man charged with possession of a controlled substance and a parole violation. During an interview with police, the man said he fired two rounds into the hotel room on April 18th in retaliation due to a prior incident between the two men, according to an affidavit. An arrest affidavit did not provide further details about the prior incident. Alex Manuel Pacheco Jr., 23, was arrested on Friday on suspicion of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, in addition to possession of a controlled substance and a parole violation. He remained in Tom Green County Detention Center in lieu of a $60,000 bond as of 2:45 p.m. Monday, according to online jail records. Police say second person arrested after man forced to apply for loan, by Elena Edgen, published April 27th. First, I'll read the original story, and then I'll read the update. A San Angelo man has been arrested after a customer told a bank employee they had been robbed and the robber was inside their vehicle, according to an arrest affidavit obtained Monday. On Friday, April 23rd, a man said he arrived at the Lodge, 1717 West Beauregard, to help a friend run errands. Upon entering the motel room, two men came out of the bathroom and demanded he empty his pockets onto the bed, or they were going to assault him, records state. The man, fearing for his safety, did as they asked. One of the suspects kept the man's debit card and a cell phone. The suspect then drove the man to World Finance, 119 West Tuig Avenue, where he threatened to beat him up if he didn't take out a $500 loan, according to the affidavit. The man entered the office, where an employee noticed he was shaking and appeared to be in distress. He told the employee what was happening, and she called police, records state. The suspect then entered the building and sat behind the man. The employee went along with the normal process. Police arrived and detained the suspect soon after. Investigators reviewed surveillance from the lodge, which led to an arrest. David Everett Jasso, 40, was arrested Friday on suspicion of robbery. He remained in Tom Green County Detention Center in lieu of a $25,000 bond as of noon Monday, according to online jail records. Update. A woman has been arrested after a man was robbed on Friday, according to an arrest affidavit released Tuesday. A man believed he was going to help a woman at her motel room Friday, but was ambushed by two men. The men told him to empty his pockets, and one of the men forced him to apply for a loan. After one of the men was arrested, an investigation led to the woman's arrest. The woman told officers she had known what the men had planned prior to the robbery. She said she knew it was wrong, but she didn't want to contact the police in fear of consequences, according to an arrest affidavit. Amber Lynn Bingham, 31, was arrested Monday on suspicion of robbery. She remained in Tom Green County Detention Center in lieu of a $25,000 bond as of 9:45 a.m. Tuesday, according to online jail records. Three correctional officers transported to Shannon Hospital after jail disturbance, by John Tufts, published April 23rd. Three correctional officers were transported to Shannon Hospital for minor injuries after inmates assaulted them Thursday, according to a news release from the Tom Green County Sheriff's Office. The officers were treated and later released, the news release stated. At about 6 p.m. Thursday, April 22nd, a spokesperson with the Sheriff's Office stated a disturbance within the Tom Green County Detention Facility occurred within a multiple occupancy unit. Order was restored by the Tom Green County Detention Center Special Operational Response Team, who responded to the cell block. Officers say the following inmates were charged with assault on a public servant, a third-degree felony. Arturo Garcia Jr., 18. Sean Hunter Wisdom, 18. Jacob Lewis Garcia, 25. No injuries were reported among the inmate population, and additional charges are expected to be filed, according to the release. The cell block where the disturbance occurred remains in lockdown status while the investigation into the incident continues, a news release stated. Arturo Garcia Jr., 18. Arturo Garcia Jr. has been in Tom Green County Jail since October 2020 after being charged with murder. Garcia was arrested in connection to the October shooting death of John Samuel Dagan. Dagan, a teenager from Brady, was found lying on his back in the street near the west entrance of the South Alley of East 29th and Pecan Streets after being shot. Sean Hunter Wisdom, 18. Sean Hunter Wisdom, 18, was arrested in March 2021 on suspicion of aggravated robbery, evading arrest detention center with a vehicle, and possession delivery of drug paraphernalia. Police arrested Wisdom after a person was injured in the 1300 block of North Chadburn Street trying to stop a vehicle theft, records state. The man had left the keys in the ignition and the vehicle running. He attempted to stop the suspect and grab the car, but was thrown off as the car drove away. Jacob Lewis Garcia, 25. Jacob Lewis Garcia was arrested after a car chase went over 100 miles per hour across three counties in October 2020. Garcia was suspected of accelerating over 100 miles per hour during a police chase in which he entered oncoming traffic several times. Law enforcement continued the pursuit through Runnels County. Garcia and a female passenger switched places as the pursuit continued 5 miles south of Bront at 98 miles per hour. The chase continued through Tom Green County and into San Angelo, where the two people left the vehicle and fled into an apartment, records state. The man and the woman were arrested after a standoff at the apartment. San Angelo man who shot four people at nightclub in 2019 received sentence, by Elena Edgen, published April 22nd. A San Angelo man charged with shooting four people outside a nightclub in 2019 has entered a plea in the cases against him Thursday. About 2:45 p.m. Thursday, April 22nd, Anthony Eugene Rodriguez, 20, appeared via Zoom for a plea hearing in the 51st District Court. Rodriguez was charged with four counts of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon from a drive-by shooting in 2019, as well as having a prohibited weapon, a 12-gauge unregistered shotgun, in 2018. Rodriguez was previously given deferred adjudication in the 2018 prohibited weapons case, but his adjudication was revoked on Thursday after pleading true to not following the terms. He also pleaded guilty to the four counts of assault. In exchange for his guilty and true pleas, the state recommended Rodriguez spend the next 12 years in jail for each assault and 8 years for the 2018 case, with all sentences to run concurrently. He would also pay $56,388.28 in restitution to cover 2019 medical costs. 51st District Judge Carmen Dusek accepted the state's recommendation and terms in full. Rodriguez was credited 523 days in the 2018 case and 539 days in the assaults. Search of KOA cabin by Lake Nasworthy finds drugs, gun, cash. San Angelo police arrest four. By Elena Edgen, published April 22nd. A search warrant at a San Angelo KOA cabin revealed THC and thousands of dollars, which led to the arrests of three residents and a College Station man, according to a police news release. On Wednesday, April 21st, police executed a search warrant at a cabin in the 6600 block of Knickerbocker Road. The search, along with multiple traffic stops, revealed approximately 400 grams of THC, 650 grams of marijuana, a handgun, and about $7,000, according to a police news release. Ryland David Mikula, 20, was arrested on suspicion of possession of marijuana, possession or delivery of drug paraphernalia, and manufacture delivery of a controlled substance. He was released Thursday on a $51,662 bond. Derek Nash, 21, was arrested on suspicion of misdemeanor possession of marijuana. He was released Thursday on a $1,000 bond. Morgan Sue Ann Olson, 22, was arrested on suspicion of possession of marijuana and possession of a controlled substance. She was released Thursday on an $11,000 bond. Shaquan Rhodes, 27, of College Station, was arrested on suspicion of possession of marijuana and manufacture delivery of a controlled substance. He remained in Tom Green County Detention Center in lieu of a $57,500 bond as of 4:30 p.m. Thursday, according to online jail records. Details emerge in attempted carjacking at San Angelo Icon Cinema. Mississippi man arrested, by Elena Edgen, published April 22nd. More information has been released about a Mississippi man charged with attempting to steal a car by gunpoint at the San Angelo Icon Cinema Wednesday. The man was arrested about 30 minutes later in Sterling County after a high-speed chase, according to a San Angelo Police Department news release. At around 5 p.m. Wednesday, April 21st, police arrived at the parking lot of San Angelo's Icon Cinema, 2020 North Bryant Boulevard. They then spoke to a 34-year-old man and a 12-year-old boy who said a man pointed a firearm at them in an attempted carjacking, according to a Thursday police news release. The man and the boy were not injured, according to the release. Officers searched and found the man driving a gray Ford F-150 pickup nearby. When police approached the man, he fled at a high rate of speed, according to the news release. Police chased the man for roughly 30 minutes across multiple county lines, involving members of SAPD, Tom Green County Sheriff's Office, Texas Department of Public Safety, and Sterling County Sheriff's Office. Cleared for takeoff. SkyWest Airlines arrives at San Angelo Regional Airport from Houston, by Colin Murphy, published April 22nd. Dozens of dignitaries were on hand at San Angelo Regional Airport to celebrate the arrival of SkyWest Airlines. The carrier landed at Mathis Field for the first time Wednesday, signaling the arrival of a new airline option for travelers. The flight from Houston arrived approximately 1 p.m. Wednesday, April 21st, taxiing down the runway toward the terminal, where it was met by two airport fire trucks spraying fountains of water high into the air to greet the aircraft. Airport manager Jeremy Valgardson said the arrival of the inaugural SkyWest flight represented an effort years in the making for travelers to and from San Angelo. "This is an exciting day for us to look out the window and see this aircraft," Valgardson said. "We've been working on this for a long time. The community wanted Houston. We went with economic development, working with city management and the Chamber of Commerce. This was a unified effort. You can see what happens when a community sticks together," he said. Diane Bays, vice president of the San Angelo Convention and Visitors Bureau, said the new airline option for consumers will open up a wide array of economic development possibilities for the region. "Tourism is the purest form of economic development," Bay said. "They will fly in, stay the night, or stay the week, and they'll leave. But then they'll come back over and over again because they are going to have a great experience when they are here." Bay said having a second airline at the airport has been a priority for her since she started work with the Bureau in 2017. "My first week, a hunting ranch contacted me and said, 'We need flights to Houston so we can get hunters here.' That was my very first week, so I know that this is important to a lot of people in this community and this region," Bay said. With the arrival of SkyWest Airlines, Bay's hopes visitors to San Angelo will expand both the area's tourism and business market. "Everything starts with a visit, and this helps open up that gateway to travelers from Houston," she said. Just Between Friends sale in San Angelo, scheduled for 5 days in May, by Rosanna Frere, published April 26th. The 2021 Just Between Friends sale is scheduled for 5 days in San Angelo, selling items for 50 to 90% off retail price. The sale will be May 4th through the 8th, at Foster Communications Coliseum, 50 East 43rd Street. COVID precautions will be set, including social distancing, lower capacity, recommended face coverings, and more. Adult shoppers are only allowed if possible. If you must bring a young child, please keep them in a carrier, wagon, or stroller, the website states. Children over the age of 10 must wear a face covering if possible. Items being sold. Spring and summer clothes. Newborn size 20. Baby gear and equipment. Outdoor and indoor toys and games. Books. Feeding and bathing items. Bedding and bags. Room decor and child furniture. Sports equipment. Electronics. Maternity items. Strollers and more. Over 400 families are expected to participate in selling their gently used items. Bowler said they have a strict standard when selling clothes. They must be current, clean, complete, and not have excessive wear. Sale schedule and admission costs. See all ticket information at jbftickets.com. Premier Primetime Shopping. 7 to 10 p.m. Tuesday, May 4th. $17 admission and pass are required. For more information on the pre-sale, visit sanangelo.jbfsale.com. Community Pre-Sale Shopping Groups. 1 to 5 p.m. Wednesday, May 5th. $12 per ticket. 1 p.m. First time. Parents, grandparents, foster or adoptive parents. 2 p.m. Military families. 3 p.m. Healthcare heroes and first responder families. 4 p.m. Teacher families. Wednesday public times entry. 5 to 9:30 p.m. on May 5th. $12 tickets available for each hour. Thursday public shopping from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. on May 6th. Door admission is $3 a person, or get tickets online to enter for free. Friday public shopping from 1 to 6 p.m. on May 7th. Door admission is $3 a person, or get tickets online to enter for free. Friday public half price pre-sale from 8:30 a.m. to 9 p.m. on May 7th. Tickets required for each shopper, $7. Saturday public shopping half price from 9 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. on May 8th. Door admission is $1 a person, or get tickets online to enter for free. Saturday public 75% off shopping from 4 to 5 p.m. on May 8th. Tickets required for each shopper, $5. For more information on the sale, email Bonnie Bowler, B-O-N-N-I-E, B-O-U-H-E-R, at jbfsale.com. Some Swallow-Tailed Kites Are Now Migrating to Texas, by Michael Price, published April 15th. Those who know me best know how much of a spreadsheet nerd that I am. I absolutely love them. I use them for budgeting. I use them for meal planning. I use them for educational programming. I even use them for the pre-planning of this column, months or even years in advance. Nevertheless, sometimes unexpected things in life happen. An extra expense causes a change in the budget spreadsheet. An extra night of baseball practice causes a change in the meal plan spreadsheet. A special request can bring about the change in the educational program spreadsheet. And sometimes I observe something so spectacular in the natural world that it invokes a change to my column spreadsheet. Which brings me to the focus of this column for this week. I very recently had the opportunity to observe a stunningly beautiful species of raptor that rarely makes a lasting appearance in this great state. And that avian species is the swallow-tailed kite. The swallow-tailed kite is a moderately sized species of raptor whose natural winter range is deeply embedded in the tropical areas of Brazil, Bolivia, Colombia, Venezuela, and Paraguay. It has recently been observed as far south as the southern coast of Uruguay. During the summer months, it migrates north to the coastal regions of Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, Alabama, Mississippi, and Louisiana. It is during this spring migration that this species is often observed along the Texas coast. Individuals occasionally will overshoot this migration path and end up in inland areas of Texas, such as the DFW Metroplex, the Panhandle, etc. But these individuals are outliers who do not remain in those regions for any lengthy amount of time. However, within the past 10 years or so, there have been small groups who have elected to stay along the Texas coast to nest rather than continuing eastward. Most of these breeding congregations have occurred between the city of Houston and Beaumont, although in 2018, a small breeding population was observed within the city limits of the small town of Grenado. Adult swallowtail kites are unmistakable for any other endemic species of raptor in the United States. They can typically be described as a bicolored species having a paper white head and neck with dark gray to almost black upper parts, wing and back areas. The underparts, which are most often observed as this species soars overhead, are snow white with long pointed wings that are outlined with black. The tail, which is where the raptor gets its namesake, is unusually long, up to 16 inches in length, dark and forked, which makes confusing this raptor with any other species almost impossible. This forked tail will open and close much like scissors while the bird soars. The bill is black while the large eyes are reddish brown. Mature specimens are approximately 24 inches in length, not including the tail, and have a wingspan of just over 4 feet, making this species the largest of the North American kites. Unlike most other varieties of raptor, this type can often be observed congregating in large groups of up to 20 individuals. This socialization occurs not only for nesting purposes, but for feeding objectives as well. This species consumes a tremendous amount of insects, particularly cicadas and grasshoppers, and will pursue its prey communally while in flight. It will also feed on lizards, small snakes, and the occasional small bird that will be captured along the treetops. This species of raptor pairs up while in the tropics during the breeding season, with the male and female remaining monogamous. The nest is constructed by both sexes and is formed out of sticks and lined with Spanish moss, leaves, and grass, as well as the occasional piece of litter. Oftentimes, this nest is built high in the tallest available trees, up to over 100 feet above the terrain. The female deposits the three whitish eggs that are then in turn incubated by both parents, mostly by the female. This incubation period lasts approximately 1 month, and the nestlings remain in the nest, tended to by both parents, for another 6 weeks. The swallowtail kite is a relatively common bird within its range, and the population numbers appear to be expanding. If you have the opportunity to observe this graceful raptor, I can assure you that you will be in awe of its soaring and sweeping flight through the treetops. Michael Price is owner of Wild About Texas, an educational company that specializes in venomous animal safety training, environmental consultations, and ecotourism. Contact him at wildabouttexas@gmail.com.
Thank you for joining us for this reading of the San Angelo Standard Times. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.